Hey, everybody, and welcome to the 9 Leaders podcast. I'm still gone. I'm still away on vacation. Still will be for a little bit longer, but we are getting closer. Couple of housekeeping things, then we'll jump into today's stuff. We are doing our 4 series. So if you have questions about 4s, send them to me on Instagram, send them to me on Facebook, email them to me at wade@9leaders.com, or click on the link in the podcast description to leave me a voicemail, and we will answer all of those questions. That's going to be super fun. I'm looking forward to that because I get to be live with you guys, and that's always exciting to me. We have an interview coming up with a 4 by the name of Elizabeth Bennett. She's an Enneagram coach and runs the Instagram page Enneagram.life. Really excited to have that conversation with her. As of today, May 29th, I have not done that interview yet, so I'm really excited to get that recorded and get that out to you guys. So like I said, I am recording this on May 29th, so it's far in the past from when you're listening to this. So if anything major has changed with what's going on with 9 Leaders, I'll post that on social media, so Instagram and Facebook. So keep an eye on both of those places to get updates on anything new that is happening. If it's something super major, I might try to record something real quick and get it actually put into the episode. But for the most part, keep an eye on those 2 sources, and that'll kind of keep you updated. If you have been listening for a while and you've gotten a lot of value out of this podcast and you would like to give some value in return but aren't quite ready to make the step towards hiring a coach yet, you can click on the link in the podcast description to support the podcast financially, whether it's $1, $2, $10, $100, whatever it is. It's all super, super helpful, and I appreciate you giving back value if you've gotten value from this. Okay, relationship series, part 3 of type 4. You guys know what I'm going to say. There is no such thing, say it with me, as a inherently bad pairing. All types, no matter who they're paired with, can have a healthy relationship. Any 2 types together can be healthy and can be really life-giving and really good. They can also be really bad. It all depends on how self-aware each individual is, how respectful of the other party each individual is, and how much they admire one another. If you can take care of those things, self-awareness, respect, admiration, you'll have a healthy relationship. So every type can have benefits, every type can have pitfalls. So don't let anybody tell you that your type inherently has a bad pairing with another type. That is simply nonsense. So today we are covering 4s in the fear triad, which is 5s, 7s, and 6s. The fear, which is the head or the thinking triad, is motivated by this fear that things aren't going to work out, that the world is dangerous and they have to achieve a level of safety and security from the world. 5s deal with that fear inwardly, 6s deal with it outwardly, and 7s are asleep to their fear, kind of ignoring their fear and their pain. In the greater structure of the Enneagram, this triad represents the passive energy. So 4s and 5s, this can be quirky and intense or needy and exhausting. Both types bring an intensity to this relationship that will be apparent in their communication with one another. 5s, which are known as the investigators, they bring a depth of knowledge and understanding of the outside world, and 4s bring a depth and understanding of the inside world, so their kind of emotional landscape. Both really respect the thoughtfulness and the richness that the other brings to the table, and regard one another with curiosity and respect. 4s and 5s both have a wide range of interests, and both love to share what they've learned. Both are also drawn towards kind of outlandish and bizarre things, which lead these two to pursue some unorthodox paths. As a team, they will function in ways that kind of seem quirky to folks on the outside, but you'll see measurable results. 5s are great at seeing patterns and systems. They're extremely objective and can always find a logical way forward. Unfortunately, though, when working with people, things often aren't logical. Feelings and emotions get involved, and logic can sometimes go out the window, and 5s can get sort of lost in how to navigate that. 4s bring this strength to the relationship. They understand emotional and symbolic meaning and unspoken implications of things a lot better than 5s can. So similarly, like a 5-2, where the 5 can really see the path forward and 2s can kind of help manage the people, it's similar to that, but 4s are going to do it in a much more emotionally deep way. So a lot of times in a professional environment, that isn't going to help a ton. It's just going to kind of make things weirder. But in a lot of ways, that four's ability to relate to people and to kind of help people feel seen can help the five kind of move their plans and their objectivity and their goals forward. Fives can help fours pay more attention to facts and details and less on emotions and feelings. So fours aren't ignorant to facts and details. They just put a lot more weight on feelings and emotions. And fives can help them see when that's appropriate and when that might not be as appropriate. So this can help push fours towards one as they start to live in that black and white space a little bit more. On the other hand, fours can help fives to connect with their emotional landscape and get in touch with the physical world. Fours' earnest curiosity about fives' thoughts helps fives to have a little bit more confidence expressing and actually enacting their ideas as they move towards that confident eighth space in health. One of my closest friends is a five, and I am a four, and we will spend hours alienating everybody around us by talking at length and in great detail about all sorts of obscure things. Together, he and I have talked at length about philosophy and religion and science and art and taxidermy and professional video gaming and how to build a fire and how fire works and American politics and Icelandic politics and the bone structure of small mammals and all sorts of different things. Fours and fives, when they get together, appreciate that breadth of knowledge that they bring, and so they can kind of go off into these really weird, obscure places in a very intense way. So from the outside looking in, this can seem like really interesting, unique, strange, weird, off-the-wall conversations. But to the five and the four, it really just feels natural and feels like home to them. So a four's tendency to be irrational and a five's tendency to be cut off from emotion can cause a lot of tension between the two. On the actual like shape of the Enneagram, if you look at the diagram, these two are on the bottom, on the bottom points, and there's nothing connecting the two. There's just empty space in between them, and that's what's known as the existential gap, because it can be really hard for fours, who are kind of the pinnacle of the feeling triad, to move over to thinking, and it can be hard for fives, who are kind of the pinnacle of the thinking triad, to move over to feeling. Fours' tendency to place high value on the emotional impact and intangible elements can push up against the fives' desire to have facts and make decisions based on them. Likewise, fives' insistence on fact and detail can seem kind of callous and inconsiderate to fours. Insecure fours might start to feel like the five is invalidating them if they choose not to act on their input because that input came from an emotional place. This was the main source of tension for my five friend and I when we worked together. Whenever we were trying to make a decision, he would have everything really well thought out and planned. All the data that he had collected kind of pointed him into making a certain decision, but I would feel uncomfortable and I would feel wrong, or I would have a concern that the decision might have a much larger emotional impact on others than he was seeing. And it was really frustrating to both of us because I couldn't quite articulate what I was feeling. It was kind of the thing, you feel it in your gut, but I couldn't get it out. I couldn't articulate it. And he didn't see what I was feeling as necessarily as important as the measurable facts. So this dynamic often delayed our decision-making and would cause tension between the two of us. For a while, we were part of a small group. It was just a group of friends that got together once a week to spend time together. And sometimes we would study something, and other times we would just have drinks and dinner. And this was actually the group where I was first introduced to Enneagram. And so whenever we would have too many study weeks in a row, I would start getting bored and want more connection and relational stuff and some more intensity in that way. And whenever we had too many nights where we just kind of hung out and talked about our lives, my friend, who was a five, would get bored, stating that the group no longer had a point. So that group was at its best when we found something to study that had some subtle emotional substance and implications, but that wasn't always the case. So this failure for the five to validate the four's feelings can kind of push them into that two space as they grow more and more resentful of the five not taking what they bring to the table seriously. Fours also have a tendency to be emotionally intense and kind of needy, which rubs up against the five because fives have a very limited amount of emotional resource. They have some of the smallest reserves of social energy of any of the other numbers. So fours might just be too demanding of fives, pushing them to shut down more. Or in an effort to placate the four, they might become kind of scattered in their energy as they move towards seven in their unhealth. So let's talk about fours and sevens. So fours and sevens can be raucous and balancing, or a frustrating and confusing pairing. At first glance, it would appear that these two would not work well together, and initially, a lot of these types take some time to get used to one another. Sevens are known as the enthusiast or the epicure, and they're characterized by a refusal to slow down and look at their pain. They flee from any form of internal work. And fours, on the other hand, can get lost in navel-gazing and sitting in their pain, and the tension can really serve this pair or hurt this pair. So in healthy situations, sevens are able to pull fours out of their melancholy, and occasionally, despite all of our opposition, fours need to be pulled out of their melancholy. Likewise, fours can help sevens to slow down and deal with some of their internal pain. Seven's strategy of running from pain, it doesn't always work out. Fours serve as a safe place and as a guide for sevens who want to take a look at some of their pain. And this helps the seven to slow down and focus as they move towards five in health. Fours' nihilism and self-pity can get old and unhealthy, and sevens can serve as guides to pull them towards optimism and joy. This can help fours get out of their heads and into reality, moving them towards one. Both types also have a taste for pleasure. Together, they will indulge in drink and food and laughter and raucous engagements and parties. They'll joke together. They're often, uncharacteristically, the four will be a lot louder and more bombastic around the seven because they kind of draw that out of one another. And then also the seven will kind of come out of their optimism and be a little bit more, earthy and a little bit more dark in their humor as well. So they can be really fun together, fours and sevens. Here's some examples of that. I have only ever gone dancing once in my entire life. And it was on Fremont Street in Las Vegas. And it was with my friend who was a seven and my other friend who was also a seven. And they refused to allow me to stand by and watch the wildness of Fremont Street, but they insisted that I enter in and participate. And the alcohol did help, but by the end of the night, we were outpacing each other. We were dancing with elderly Asian women and men dressed as fawns, and several groovy homeless people came and joined this little party we were having in the middle of the street. And it took a push from my seven friends to help me to get out of my head and actually have a good time. Now, the next morning, the four kicked in when I had to have a conversation with them about what it all meant. What kind of person am I now that I've danced that hard? What are the emotional implications of such an evening? They wanted to go out and dance again, and I wanted to fully examine and integrate the emotion, the implications of that night. So it shows that sevens and fours can get together and have a very good time. The way they process it might be a little bit different. And these differences can often be really frustrating. Sevens might see fours as too nihilistic, depressing, and boring. And fours may see sevens as fake, disingenuous. They're refusing to engage in their emotions. They see sevens' optimism and happy-go-lucky attitude to be a farce. Sevens are trying too hard. And sevens that try too hard to pull fours out of their melancholy can push the four to believe the seven is actually trying to change them and not allow them to be their authentic self. This can lead to resentment in unhealthy fours as they move towards two. Fours' angst and expectation that sevens feel the full range of emotion could push seven into one. In an effort to placate the four, they may become more serious in lieu of being more introspective. So instead of actually looking at themselves and becoming deeper and becoming more interested in what's kind of going on emotionally and in their real world, they'll just try to fake it by being serious. And that kind of pushes them into that unhealthy one space because they're suppressing their natural joy and their spontaneity. Eventually, that becomes a bit too much for the seven, and they take one of their numerous off-ramps that they've already been planning, and that leaves the four to kind of feel justified in their self-deprecation. So my best friend in the world is a seven, and I did not like him at first. He was too happy and too optimistic. He was going through a hard time when I met him, but he was ignoring it and pretending to be okay. And it wasn't until he and I sat down and had dinner after he had left a job he was unhappy in, and he was honest about that experience. And it wasn't until then that I was able to really start seeing him as an authentic, real person. And he still gets on my nerves sometimes. At Christmas, he wore an elf costume and pranced around like it was the best time ever. We work at a large church, and Christmas is anything but fun when you work at a large church, or at least for me it is. So unhealthy fours might not be able to get over that initial shock. I'm really glad that I did, because years later he brought me to Fremont Street, and now I understand what kind of person I am. I am a dancing person, but only when there's a lot of alcohol involved. Fours and sixes. So this can be trustworthy and supportive, or pessimistic and suspicious. Sixes are called the loyalist, and they bring a steady presence to fours' irrationality. Fours are prone to being over-emotional and a little bit reckless, and sixes' ability to plan and see potential threats can help fours to slow down and not act foolishly and impulsively. On the other hand, fours can help sixes to try new things and to lean into their fear. Once a six feels safe with a four and has seen the value of examining their fear, they kind of start to relax into that healthy space of nine. Sixes' practicality will help fours to set their plans and their ideas in place as they move towards one. Sixes' warmth and earnest nature allow the four to feel seen, and fours' genuine care about the emotional state of other people can help the six to feel safe to open up and just feel safer in their own skin and in their environment. So fours and sixes react to things really differently, and they kind of see the world really differently. My sister's a six, and she and I took a trip to Los Angeles, and we visited a place called the Museum of Death. Contrary to what you might think initially, it was actually her idea. And this museum, if you haven't heard of it, is in really poor taste. It's full of pictures of everything from serial killer victims to car crash victims to house fire victims to embalming equipment and taxidermy and all kinds of things all relating to death. And it's exploitative. It's not classy at all. And our reactions to this place were very different. So we're both fascinated by serial killers, but for very different reasons. So I was disturbed and fascinated by this gaudy horror show. And as anything with serial killers or things of that nature, I started to think about, how could someone do that? What kind of person goes to that place? How did they get there? What steps led them there? And how must the families of the victims of not only the serial killers, but the car crash victims and the house fire victims feel knowing what happened to their loved ones? And how do those families feel knowing that pictures of their loved ones are being gawked at by tourists daily? And what are the implications of a society where people pay money to keep a place like this not just open and in business, but thriving? Meanwhile, my sister spent her time planning what's the best way to avoid serial killers and what's the best way to avoid house fires. She also had heightened anxiety in cars for the next few days. So I wanted to look at that stuff to ponder the greater emotional implications, and she wanted to face the monster in order to better protect herself from it. She also claims that I steal her jokes. I don't. I just say them loud enough for people to hear them, which in my mind is helping pull her into a more open and healthy, trusting space with the community. So you're welcome, my dear sister. So the dynamic between the six and four can break down pretty easily. Sixes might start to feel that the four is too erratic, that they're unsafe and can't be trusted. Their emotional flare-ups and drama can cause sixes to start to build walls up around themselves out of protection. So this could eventually lead them to try to dominate the four and demand their subservience. So moving toward their stress points of three, they force their goal of safety and stability onto the four, and they decide that they're going to be the ones to achieve it because the four is not helping them do that. Another possibility for a different kind of six, a phobic six, would be that as the six moves towards three in stress, they might begin to kind of change themselves to appease the four. They see that the four is offering them some sort of security or some sense of safety, so they are going to change themselves a little bit to appease the four's outbursts. This can lead to the four feeling more justified in their negative emotion and kind of drag the six down with them into some really pessimistic and dark places. As the four starts to feel justified in their resentment of whatever their ire is directed towards at the moment, they start to move towards that resentful space of two, while the six is continuing to move towards three, trying to merge a little bit and try to be kind of chameleon-esque with the four and kind of just fueling that unhealthy fire. Fours may eventually become frustrated with sixes' fears, seeing them as weak and not able to kind of live in the world, and sort of paralyzed by this fear. And this paralysis in the six might cause the four to search for more depth and more passion elsewhere, while the flare-ups and drama of the four might cause the six to do the same thing. So there you go. There is fours and the fear triad. This is the longest script I've ever written. It's because I get to talk about myself and my friends. I guess I have a lot of friends in the fear triad, so that's always exciting. So I hope that you enjoyed this. I hope you got something out of it. So maybe you are a four or a five, six, seven, or any of the numbers, and you are having some trouble relating. You're kind of not seeing the ways that you can connect with the people around you. You're not seeing how you can make these relationships work so that you can achieve your goals and help them to achieve theirs as well. If that's the case, I would love to sit down with you and have a conversation about it. Just talk about what your goals are, what you're trying to achieve, and what's getting in the way. If that's interesting to you, go to www.9leaders.com and sign up for a coaching session where we just sit down, we talk about what your goals are, we talk about what's in the way, and how we can use this tool of the Enneagram to try to find a way through those obstacles so that you can achieve the goals that you're after. So thank you guys so much for listening. I have enjoyed speaking with you. I'm looking forward to being with you during the 4 Q&A. Please remember to send in questions, and I will talk to you all then.